Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
You're going to be setting up around me, which is good. And you know, it's interesting because in our church, we really believe in a culture of honor. And you're going to hear us always talking about when we speak of our families and our children, of our government, of our city officials, all the things. We really, really want to make sure that we give honor. And we believe that that's a huge part of what the kingdom of God is all about. And so I was praying about it, and I knew that I was responsible for today. I'm going to have somebody help me out. Actually, I'll just go ahead and grab this myself. But I knew that I was responsible for this morning, and I was just kind of praying about, well, what direction do we want to go today? We don't want to make it a somber moment, but it's solemn, right? When you think about, I've talked many times and I've said that a lot of people just sort of, we look at this weekend as a three-day weekend and it's just more time for us to be off or to be with our families or go to the beaches or whatever. But we really wanted to take a time and honor God by honoring those who have served and those who lost their lives, which is what specifically Memorial Day is about. There's a verse in, it was at the end of that video there you saw. But in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear," which just means respect, "and honor to whom honor." Render to all their dues. I don't love that part because if you go to the original context, it's talking about taxes. And I don't love that part of it, but when we're talking about tribute and fear and honor, that's part of what we want to make sure that we're standing and walking in. This month, if you haven't been here, we've been talking about this concept of victory and being overcomers, victorious in the different aspects of our lives. And I really feel like we started the month out in the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it said this, "But we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors in all things." Somebody say all things.
All things.
"Through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One." That's been the overview of this entire month, that God has given us the victory in all things through our Lord Jesus. And I love it because that's the space that we get to build all of this upon. God has given us, me, the victory in all things. Amen? I mean, that's really good news. Then the other part that I want to look at is 3 John chapter 2. In 3 John chapter 2, it says, 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that in every way," somebody say every way.
Every way.
So in all things and in every way, "that you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. For I was greatly pleased when some of the brothers came from time to time and testified to your faithfulness, the truth of the gospel message. That is how you are walking in truth." How you are currently walking in truth. And I believe this with all of my heart, that all of us are simply works in progress. There's an old country song that said, "I'm a work in progress." Anybody know that song? Okay, you probably don't want to hear that song. But we're all a work in progress. None of us have attained or arrived. There's things that we're walking out. There's things that we're having to overcome. There's things that we know that have been obstacles maybe in our lives or in our families or in generations. So we're all working, but it said that they are working through it. We're walking through this process. And I started thinking about this concept. I'm late to the party, probably, but I started watching the series The Chosen. And if you've seen that series, it's amazing to me because it just really makes Jesus, it makes him human. It makes him relatable. It makes him touchable. And then I started thinking about this concept as we're looking at the chosen and we're seeing Jesus doing all these miracles from city to city, place to place. If you stop and think about it, Jesus never left the continent that he was on. Think about it. Jesus was a physical man. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And it talks about every place that he would go, there were people that were around him who were hurting. Every place that Jesus would go, there would be crowds and throngs of people that would gather to him because there were so many people that were works in progress. They're walking it out. And then I looked at this verse in John chapter 21, verse 25. And it says here, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were recorded one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Think about that. So Jesus went across, and he only had 3 years of full-time ministry, but he healed, and he saw, and every person he came across, people were constantly and consistently coming to him because there was a need for healing all over the land that he was in. And the Bible tells us that if we would have recorded everything that he did, the books could not contain the fullness of the miracles of God. Here's where you come in, and here's where I come in. In John chapter 14, it says this: "Believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works." In other words, he's saying, sometimes it's hard for you to believe something that's out there, but we've seen physical things happen in front of us. He's saying, if you can't believe all the other stuff, believe what your eyes have actually seen. "The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things." Somebody say greater things. "The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I have been doing." He says, "You can count on it from now on. Whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I will do it through you. That's how the Father will be seen for he who is in the Son." I mean it. Jesus refers again. "I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I will do." Yeah. So here's the thing, guys. There are people all around us in this journey of victory, in this journey of walking out their faith, walking out their success, seeing the hand of God work and move in them and through them. I also believe that Jesus gave us a mandate, and he said to us, "Listen, I had to go away to my Father, but I sent the Holy Spirit so that you now could be agents of healing for those who are broken." All around us, you see people. You will see people who have needs, who are broken, who are hurting, who need to be touched by the Spirit and the presence and the hand of God. And you, my friends, are his hands and his feet. Yeah. He's going to work through us as his hands and his feet. And I'll close with this. The victory that we have is not just for us. It's our responsibility to help as many others as we can to walk in that same victory. Yeah. Yes. That's what this whole month is about. We found our way to get breakthrough. We heard from Pastor Chris and Pastor Tristan and myself. We got all these tools, all these things, all these ways for us to experience freedom. But our freedom is not just for us. It's for us to be agents of freedom for somebody else. And so this morning, I wanted to do something different. And it's interesting because a lot of times, if you've been around here any length of time, you know for me, especially when I preach, I like to just kind of go off the cuff, man. I like to feel what's in the room, let God's flow and speak, and then some of y'all get nervous when I'm preaching because you're like, is he going to call me out? Is he going to call me out? No, I'm not going to call you out today. But I really felt like today God just kept confirming that because we have such a culture of honor, that it would behoove us to make sure that we recognize and remember what this day is actually about. Now, let me say this. We acknowledge, first of all, that every military branch is important. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all the whole gamut of it. We understand that every single one of them. But for us personally, we've got some relationship with a couple gentlemen that we're going to introduce you in a moment. And we wanted them to be able to share some of their stories. I do want to ask this question. I found out that when you say a Gold Star family, that means that you've had somebody in your immediate family that did not come home from war, that you lost in the military. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in the room that has that story where you've lost somebody or your family, your Gold Star family? So not in this room specifically. Oh, I see one over here. I see another one over there. You talk about the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate price that was paid. We want to take these moments, obviously, to honor those. And so today, what we're going to do special is I've got a couple friends, and I'll set you up when you get up here. But one of them is named Marine Staff Sergeant Sergio Rodriguez, and his wife is Zyra, son Ares, which I think is cool. Ares means Greek god of war. That's a cool name. Their daughter's name is Allie, and Serge spent time in the infantry unit, platoon training Marines for combat. He was a training chief. He was the one who set up and made sure that everybody met their physical qualifications. And I'm saying that because he is my coach right now. And Lord God, he does a good job at it. I haven't met my physical qualifications yet, but we're working on it, coach. We're working on it. So physical qualifications, he's done tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, combat tour in Japan. He's been in for 10 years. And I thought this was interesting. He did security detail for one of our vice presidents during that time. A man of God, a man of honor. And then we've got another man by the name of Sergeant Chris Farley. Yeah. And we know him and we love him. They've been at the church for 20-something years. 25 years. He and his wife, Tracy, they have a son, Seth, and a daughter, Kirsten. And Sergeant Farley served in Paris Island as a radio operator, Okinawa, Japan. He said there were times there where he was deployed at a moment's notice. He served in the Philippines and Guam and Thailand. And there's just so much more that goes into his story. But I wonder if you guys could do me a favor. And I want you to do me a favor. Stand up on your feet and honor these two men of God as they come here to speak to you today.
Yeah, so we've been putting this together for a few weeks. Oh, she's already starting to cry. Please, we have so far to go before we lose it all. But we really had a time where we've talked about it. And can I say just a little bit? We had talked to a few other people as well too, and we found there were so many rich stories. We didn't have time to have as many people as we wanted up here. And one of the people that I talked to that had served, you know, distinguished serving our country for several deployments, he had said, you know, you don't want to have us talk. It's Memorial Day. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about those that didn't come back. It's not about us. And I got that he was speaking from the place of honor and respect, and that's what we were saying. We set this up. We know that Memorial Day is those that paid the ultimate price, and some of our veterans that are alive are very conscious about not making it about them because they made it back. But we wanted to connect with them because who better to be able to represent this morning? So that's what we wanted to start out with. But if you will, I want to go right into our first question. We're just going to ask them and interview them today and let them speak from their heart, from their spirit. And I feel like they're going to have some powerful things to say. But our culture, we were talking about our culture. In some ways, we've lost that sense of honor. And we've talked about we want to have honor in this church and have that as a value. We believe it's a value in our church. So, you know, in light of where the culture is heading, maybe they're forgetting about what Memorial Day is about. It's not about a sale. It's not about an extra day off in the weekend or having the barbecues. We wanted just to hear from you about what you feel about Memorial Day personally.
Hi. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you set it up nicely when during the at the beginning of the service. It's about the ones that have fallen. I have a few friends that passed away overseas. I saw a few of them pass away. So it's about them. So I spend my Memorial Day, I go visit friends. If they're in a graveyard or at the Florida National Cemetery, I have a few friends there. So I go visit them, and I'll leave a dime on their cross at the church, at the gravestone. But it's living for them. They didn't get to come back home. So it's up to us to honor them. So I remember in our conversation, I said it. I didn't make it up. I read it somewhere. But veterans that die overseas in combat, they die twice. They die on the battlefield, and then they die again when we don't remember them. So, and it's not I didn't make that up. I don't want to take credit for it. I read it somewhere. But it's about them.
Yeah. Chris.
Hello. Just like Serge said, I've lost brothers too in the line of duty. I've also lost brothers that once they come back couldn't handle what they had done and unfortunately taken their lives. John 15:13, and I'll paraphrase this, pretty much there's no greater thing. Then a brother lay down his life for another. And I'm older than, everybody up here. growing up in the 60s and 70s, there was still that honor of Memorial Day. And over time, with everyone getting busy, and I'm not going to say politics, but everything else that goes on, it's starting to be forgotten. And just like Sergio says, each one of these representing the United States in service, no matter what branch that has given our life, does unfortunately die twice.
What was it about the dime being placed on the gravestone? I know that's significant. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so you and me and my son were just having a conversation about it when we came in. So if you go and visit, and we'll leave pennies too, if you go and visit someone buried at a national cemetery, you leave a penny that you visited them. It's a nickel if you knew them or you went to boot camp with them. So it's a nickel, and it's a dime if you served with them, and it's a quarter if you watched them die. So you leave that on a cross. I mean, it doesn't stay there forever, but it's a way to show respect. So I leave some quarters and dimes.
Yeah, yeah, tremendous. Well, you talked about this a little bit, Chris, and how many have come out, kind of the price paid for those that did make it back alive. But then you said that there's an abrupt shift. Suddenly you're active service, and it's almost like the next day you're trying to find yourself as a citizen.
Sure.
And it's hard on making that transition for many of that serve. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
We can only speak for the Marine Corps and how they train, but they train you to be a weapon, a point of the spear, go get it, and everything revolves around it. They desensitize you for your actions that you're going to do instead of the normal person. If you are looking to defend something, it's harder in your heart to actually do those actions, but to desensitize and actually show that you are protecting the country and the freedoms that all of us have is part of the thing. But in relation to that, when you go to get out, it's when I did, there was no transition far as, hey, here you are, you're the point of spear, you're a fine-tuned weapon, you're designed to do this. Thank you for your service. We'll see you later. Yeah. And the coping and dealing with that and the pressures is tough for a lot of Marines.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that, Serge?
So I agree, but since because I'm a little bit behind him, you know, a couple years behind him, they have put things in place like that. So I know I'm going to talk from personal experience. When I was in Fallujah, as soon as we got done, we saw heavy combat in Fallujah. We had a month of decompression, is what we called it, before we left country. We were in a perimeter within a perimeter within a perimeter, so we didn't have to worry about security, which was a change of pace for us. And we just had to give up our weapons, which was like, what? You know, give up my weapon. And we just got to R&R. We just got to rest and relax for that month. And then we made the transition home. And then once service ended, for whatever that time was, they would put you through programs to EAS, to end of active service. They would put you. So that's gotten a little bit better. But it's still government. So, I mean, it's as good as it gets, right?
Yeah, so in light of that, I was reminded, you know, when we were talking about this earlier, I remember when Chris and Tracy, they first came to the church 25 years ago, and I remember, you know, he was telling us a little bit about the story about it wasn't too far after his becoming a citizen, right? And I remember the first time in talking with him, I'm thinking, oh, you served as a Marine. How cool. You know, I'm just like, I get fanboy over that kind of stuff. That's amazing, but when I asked him early on a little bit about his story, he wouldn't share. He was just a closed book, and God had really had worked on you for a while to work you through some of that stuff. But can you? Well, let me roll that back. I'm going to get to that in a second. But when you went over and when you were in that. When you were in active duty and seeing action, were there moments that really changed you as a person? Something that you saw, something that you experienced that really, I don't know, that got it from being, you know, just from technical coming out of, you know, boot camp and training and you realize, this is real, something that really changed you as a person?
Well, the Marine Corps is about training. I was a radio operator at first, which means you could get detached to pretty much any unit from the infantry to the air wing. And I had got stationed in Okinawa, Japan, and when I landed there, within 3 days, we were picked up and deployed without any further training other than boot camp and going to my primary MOS school. And we had to go down. Our job was to protect U.S. interests in the Far East. So at a moment's notice, they may call you up and say, hey, you're getting on the plane. And we flew to the Philippines. There was, at that time, a conflict time. The president was Marcos, and the president that wanted to come in was Corian Aquino. And there was great resistance with a factious group called the NPA that liked to do damage to U.S. properties, whether it was embassies, government buildings, antennas for submarines. And that really got me because I hadn't been into any type of jungle training at all. And we threw us out there at it. And you had to rely on what I had in my heart. I hadn't built trust with these people yet. They weren't my brothers per se at that point. And so I carried in my heart with me the assurance prayer of Psalm 91. And, that was mine.
Yeah. Did you have something?
Yes, sir. So can you kind of walk them through, because we talked a little bit about, can you just tell them a little bit of your spiritual journey? And then I remember you telling me about how Fallujah was just so pivotal for you. So walk us through a little bit of that.
Yeah. So my parents were Catholic. When I was raised, it was in a Catholic church. I did confirmation and communion and devout Catholic for most of my time. I joined the Marine Corps. I've always been a believer in God, but it started getting hard to reconcile the way that we pray. Like when I was in Catholicism, it was hard to be real rigid the way Catholicism is. And then, like Pastor Lindsay said, Fallujah, I had a real hard time. It was a really tough deployment, and I walked away. It's not that I stopped believing. I've always believed in God my entire life, as far back as I can remember. But I walked away. I purposely And I'm going to be frank. I said, I hate you. I was having a hard time connecting what I was seeing and doing with faith. So I walked away, and Fallujah did that. So I had combat. I had a combat tour before Fallujah, but like Pastor Lindsay said, it was in Afghanistan. I was a security detail for the embassy, and then we protected Vice President Dick Cheney and the President of Afghanistan at the time. But that was, it felt Hollywood. That was cool. That was a cool deployment. I mean, we had a couple things, but it felt cool. Fallujah was not that. Fallujah was bad.
Tell me as much as you can. I mean, I know this is a public setting or whatever, but can you explain what happened with the child and how that shifted your vision, your view?
So we have, in the Marine Corps, I don't know how it was back in the day, but we have, when I was there, I didn't mean it like that.
Said way back in the day.
Like five minutes before. So we have this thing called a RIP. It's a replacement in place. So I was a squad leader at the time. I was a sergeant, E5, and I was in charge of a squad, a 12-man unit. So me and the other two squad leaders and our platoon commander, we deploy into country before the rest of our unit does. So we embed with the unit that's already there. So they've been fighting already for 6 months. This was in Fallujah. So if anyone knows, Fallujah was dirty. It was bad. It's the worst fighting since Vietnam. So I embedded to this unit. I had no operational control over this unit. I was just along for the ride to learn so that when my unit gets there in a week or two, I'm the guy they go to and I can walk through the city with confidence. My first contact, we took mortar fire and we hit in a building and the building took mortar rounds. And I remember the way it felt in my body and the loud explosions. And then when we got onto the street, there was a kid, he was dead, right? So his eyes were rolled back. That shock, like a scene that I had never seen that in my life at that point. Like I said, I had a combat tour, but it wasn't like that, right? So Fallujah changed it. And watching this kid lay there and bleed out, and his father yelling at us in a different language that I didn't understand. And that was my first mission in Fallujah, first mission. I still had 6 months to go. That was my first day on the job. And the squad leader, I remember, and I'm not judging at all. This guy's been there 6 months, and they were fighting. He just said, F him. And we walked away. So that it got tough after that to hold faith and continue to walk whatever path I was trying to walk at the time.
Yeah. Would you say, now we talked before even about the whole PTSD side of things, and like what you said, what you've seen, and maybe some of these, you know, guys and ladies that have served, these women that have served, it's hard to process this. And like you're saying, like that guy was hard and he just had to keep moving, right? It was about the mission, right?
Yeah, I didn't judge. We had more places to go, and if I, not to get into the weeds of it, but if they put mortar fire on us, they had that location fixed so we couldn't stay. So I just background. So if rockets come from far away to hit us, that wasn't by luck or chance. That was fixed. Someone did math. That's not easy to do. So we needed to leave. We needed to get out of there. So I'm not judging, but it's just to try to square that circle.
Yeah.
Right? That's a kid. And it really didn't affect me until I had my son.
Right.
I was able to compartmentalize that, and I was able to move forward in life until my son was born.
Yeah. And that's how you guys are trained, right? I mean, because you can't be absorbed in the emotion in the moment. You have to just keep on. And then later on, it can come up years, decades later, and just surprise some of these guys. Chris, you were talking about the stats of the suicides of people that have been out for years, and you tell them about your friend that had just passed.
Yep. So right now, suicide for veterans and servicemen and women is the leading cause other than accident of deaths. On January 17th, 2023, a Marine who I served with, he tried to commit suicide. and he thank God he wasn't successful. Great news is he's healthy, he's alive, and he's saved, and he loves the Lord.
And that's enough said about that.
That's
Do you have another question?
I mean, I'm just kind of taking it all in. Because when you think about what we started off by saying, Jesus said there's people all around you that are hurting. And you don't know the journey that it's taken for these guys to walk in the victories that they're walking in.
That's right.
You know, we weren't built to have to walk away from a child who was lying there, who lost his life. We're not made that way. So the journey to kind of get back to the space, which is where, you know, I've been so impressed. I've had a lot of, I've said this before, but I've had good contact with Serge for the last year and a half. And I told him the other day, like the things that he's done to help me regain my life is just, I can't quantify it. But at the same time, when I go into the gym, I'm just way under the radar. Most people there didn't even know I was a pastor or anything. But I've watched the scales fall off of you. Yeah. I've watched his heart. Now, he's still a tough. you don't play with him, for sure. But I've watched God slowly walk you through. And even some of the things that you've been carrying and all of that, I just think it's amazing to see how you've let the Holy Spirit just work in you. And to be able to put some of that stuff back on the altar and walk away from some of those things, it's just, I just want to admonish you in front of everybody today. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah. Just even going back to your relationship with Jesus, were there times that you saw that God really stepped in? And it could have been even after service where you felt the Lord's presence or scripture or an experience that you knew God was healing you. He was restoring you. Maybe he was helping you. You know, what did you say, square that circle or circle that square, that it was supernatural how God was restoring you. Do you have some of those moments?
For me?
Sure.
So, like I said, and I'll be real. I feel comfortable to say it. It wasn't a sudden thing, but it took time. I was in a dark spot after I had gotten back from Fallujah, and it took a while for me to get to where I'm at today. My wife and I love you, baby, but we had a strained relationship when I got back. Like I said, I had a hard time dealing my wife being pregnant with my son and then holding him. We separated and she left with the kids, and I was left alone. So I thought about ending it. I did. I was drinking heavy, and at that point I hadn't walked back towards faith. I haven't received any counseling or therapy. I just drank it away, and I exercised and drank. Exercise, and then the exercise was just, it wasn't as fun as the drinking, so I just drank. And it got heavy, and I was gonna end it. And I felt. I was alone in an apartment, and I'm not going to get into details of it, but I felt compelled to look up, and it was a picture of my son, the only picture I had of my son at the time. And I sought help a few days after that. And then slowly but surely, I made my way back through counseling and through therapy, and I'm good to go. Easy day.
That's great. And Chris, same question.
Same boat as Sergio. I got out in December of 92, and after spending 8 years in the Marine Corps. And times were different there, like we've already discussed. And I didn't have any place really to go. At this point, I'd been married to Tracy for 7 years, and we went through the same thing. I would isolate myself. I was a heavy drinker, and it was hard to cope with. My faith wasn't as strong as it is now, but I wasn't a good person whenever I met Tracy either. She kind of, my mom laughs. She was God sent for sure. And if any of you know my wife, her faith is unmistakable for God. And there was a night that I shouldn't have been driving, completely drunk, and went around a 15-mile-an-hour curve, lost control, and I wake up, and I'm in a muddy ditch and woods on three sides of me, and it had to have been God. This pickup truck fit in a notched area completely perfect without a scratch. I got help from two guys that happened to be out at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere and got me and drove me home because they were like, you are in no shape to drive. And I sat down and I wrote a letter that night that I wouldn't do that again. And I just thank God for her. Amen. And her. Amen. Believing in us. Yeah.
Wow, that's tough to talk now. Just again, we know there's a very big difference in Memorial Day and Veterans Day, but just to show again honor, can I have everyone that has served our country in any branch of the military, can you stand up where you are? Please, we just want to respect and honor all of you. So good to see.
Jeez. So I guess as we kind of come in for a landing, how would you encourage people who maybe don't have the same experiences of the PTSD and the stuff that you guys experience, but what would you encourage them in their faith, in their walk with God? You know, just what would you say?
Well, for me, and I'm just talking personally, like I said, when I got away from Catholicism, praying it out loud, hearing yourself talk to God as though he's your friend or your father. That helped me. It was different than just internalizing, because I internalize a lot of things, but when I said it out loud, it helped. And then eventually God put people in my life that helped me soften up and look for help.
Say that again.
What's that?
What you just said.
About put people in my life?
Yes.
Well, we were talking about backstage, you know, Bonnie Hayes, your Pastor Chris's wife, she worked at the college in Central Florida when I was finishing up my bachelor's degree for business, and she had to deal with the internships, like when you had to go get be at a job and get an intern, I would have to go speak to her. She was actually the one that, through her words, I chose to go to the gym I'm at now, which the owner is a member here, and I met Pastor Lindsay there. So it was like bing, bang, boom.
Chris, encourage somebody on their walk of faith.
I've been through a lot, and praise God, I've come through unscathed. I look at it, the Marine Corps, I could call up any Marine that I served with at any time, 2 o'clock in the morning, and by 5 or 6 in the morning, even if they were 1,000 miles away, somehow they'll be there. And that's how I look at it with God too, that when you have God on your side, that he's gonna be there right then. And that you just have to reach out and communicate and have that faith. And God will be there for you guys.
So good, man. See me looking at this joker right here? So good. And so grateful. I'm just grateful to know that we're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. God's doing something individually. You just don't know what somebody's walked through to be who they are. Don't know the journey that they've walked. But I'm going to have you guys do me a favor if you would, if you're comfortable enough to. I want you to each say a prayer over these people. Because there might be somebody in here, in this room today, who's dealt with alcoholism. There might be somebody in the room who's had a broken relationship or things that you've had that were traumatic for you. Maybe not a tour overseas, but maybe a traumatic moment in your family or your history or your life. We know it because if you walk in any room, there's somebody that's dealt with some of that stuff. So I think the power of these guys continuing to walk out their testimony, to walk out your faith. We're all flawed, we have our stuff, but there's power in a word that's spoken from somebody who's lived through something. So if you guys don't mind, would you do that for me?
All right, let's pray.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what this weekend represents, Lord God, in remembering the people that have lost their lives, Lord, so that we can continue to live ours. Right now, I just reach out to anyone that's going through any type of addiction, Lord God. We just claim that they have no control over your body. We just say in the name of Jesus, the devil, you have no authority over their mind for alcoholism, any type of addictions, Lord God. Anger management, Lord God, I come against that right now. Any type of anger or resentment, Lord God, I pray that you open the hearts of people that are struggling right now, Lord God. We thank you for what you do, Lord God. We claim victory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Come on. We so they're looking around and saying, "What's happening with the smoke?" We appreciate you guys, and you know, I think hopefully, if nothing else comes out of this, that every time we have this Memorial Day weekend, again, it's more than a barbecue or an extra day at the beach, but it's a time where we can honor God by honoring those who served and fought for our freedom with the ultimate price of their life. So I want you to do me a favor one more time. Give Jesus now a big hand of praise. I'm going to have my team come up. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you.